The Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs who would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, this great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may warn them, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
What a difficult text to hear. It's not a particularly uplifting scripture story or passage that gives you some good feelings about yourself or about the world. So I'm going to take you all back to the first time I remember overhearing this passage. I was 8, and I was at my grandmother's church. We were visiting her in Texas for the first time. There was a children's sermon, and all the children went to Sunday school. But because I was visiting my grandparents and not like a normal attendee, like, we stayed in the service. I do not remember what the children's service sermon was on, but what I remember my grandmother saying was how she couldn't preach this text during the children's sermon because there was, like, no mercy in the text. She was like, "How do you preach this text when Lazarus is not, like, allowed to dip his finger into the water to give it to the rich man? Like, how is there, like, how is this a text that we can, like, preach?" Now, what I really want to know is what she actually preached. Because that was all, like, I think that was, like, you know, that side moment where you're like, "Oh, this is how I get into the text." And then, like, do not remember where she took the text from there. I would love to, like, remember that. So that was, like, when I read this text, the first thing I remembered was this, like, story of my grandmother being like, "Oh, this is a hard text to preach." And I was like, "Great. Now I get to preach it." So as I was thinking about this and kind of what was happening in the text, I was sort of remembering that this is a parable. So one of these stories that is, like, teaching us something, that this is not actually a literal story about what's going to happen. And I was like, okay, that's good. I don't actually have to worry about the exact things in this story happening. So then what is sort of happening in this text? What are the patterns? What is the message? What are we seeing here that is, like, being sort of exaggerated in this, like, apocalyptic parable of this tale about a rich man and Lazarus? Because this is, you know, we're talking about rich and poor, which is, like, sort of in a, like, sequence of talking about wealth and money. Elsa's sermon last week, we talked about it. I don't know. I'm hoping next week we might be out of it. I haven't looked at the lecture yet. But so it's like we're in this, like, sort of challenging time where we're thinking about what is the Bible saying about these sort of difficult topics, and how do we find sort of, like, hope and, like, anything good that's not just saying, like, what are we going to do? So I was like, this is a parable. So like, let me think about all these things. What am I learning here? And I was sort of in that reminded of this exaggeration of those like rich and poor. Like this is not just like an average like middle class rich person. This is a very wealthy person. This is like a juxtaposition of like the richest you can be. This is like 16 million houses, maybe not quite that much, but like in the exaggeration, right? Like purple cloth, like extravagant meals, a gate. Like this is not an ordinary amount of wealth, or even like, right? This is an extreme. This is, and then the poor is not, it is somebody who can't get up. It is someone who is there at the mercy. So there's like this extreme dichotomy here that's helping show how much that the rich man is just not noticing anything around him, right? This is not, right? So this is not the sort of everyday. This is like to help us see something a little bit more. So then I was thinking about who this text meant before, right? What are we illustrating? And this text isn't about the person who died or Lazarus. It's about those friends. So at the end of this passage, I'm going to go, I'll read it again. The rich man is talking about, then Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, that they will not also come to this place of torment. And then Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, and they should listen to them. And so I thought that was so important, that the story is that warning text, and it's about listening to what is around us, seeing what's around us. I then thought again about the way that the rich man still has missed the point in the asking Lazarus to dip his finger in the water. Lazarus has lived a hard life, and the rich man still feels entitled to something while sitting in Hades. There's no sort of never noticing the way he's just like unable to have noticed the world around him, the teachings, the world, right? So this text is pointing towards what Abraham and these traditions have already come before, right? The way that the message, the gospel, has already been in the world. And that was the sort of like moment of hope for me as I started like ripping into this text. I was like, oh, so this text isn't saying that we're hopeless if we're like not noticing things. It's saying that we actually already have the things that we need at our fingertips. We just have to remember that we have the scripture. And then beyond that, it also talks about, in the next sort of passage, it talks about seeing somebody who's risen, right? And Abraham kind of dismisses it. But it's not actually something we can dismiss, because we end up with someone in the Christian tradition who has died and risen for us, right? We have that person who has come back from the dead to teach us something. So right, we have all of Jesus' life, all of Jesus's, you know, Jesus' death and resurrection. We actually have that thing that rich man says that we need. We have all of the tools to get us there, to not worry actually at all, because we have faith and hope. We don't have to look further than our stories of faith or stories of our tradition, because they're right here for us. And we don't have to fear for the like, sort of mass imagery of right hell that we're seeing in this, because it's not gonna happen, because actually we have those tools that we need, and we can just go and work towards this life of justice that is actually what we're being asked to see here, right? Now that we know and can be reminded that we have these tools, we can go back to this text and just know that if we miss something, we have the grace of God to see it again. But we can just look around us and not have to worry about seeing everything, because we're not going to be at that dichotomy all the time. But we can find ourselves somewhere between, because we are always between that sinner, like the poor and the rich. There's somewhere between in there for us. Sometimes we're at the very low, the wealthy, or sometimes we're very wealthy, but there's almost always a down or an up. And that's where our stories, our faith, our tradition, and Jesus are there. They offer us hope in all of our dichotomies of life and take away that fear of what happens next, because we know that we can just rely on what we have been taught through Jesus. Amen.